Today in Business from Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews. This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
Here's today's spoken edition of Wired.
Today's briefing is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you the visibility and control needed to make smart decisions and grow with confidence. Save time and money, and gain agility and scale by managing your company's finances in one place, in real time, from your desktop or phone. Start today. Right now, NetSuite is offering valuable insights with a free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, at netsuite.com/wired. Get your free guide at netsuite.com/wired. Is there a constitutional right to make robocalls? Meeting via conference call for the first time ever this week, the Supreme Court considers a case about our phones, by Gilad Elliman. The Supreme Court has produced many memorable moments in its 231-year history, but this week was surely the first time a toilet audibly flushed in the background during oral arguments. Such is the reality of conducting Supreme Court business during the coronavirus pandemic. This week, for the first time ever, the Supreme Court began holding oral arguments over the phone. So it's fitting that one of the cases argued this week was itself about phone calls. Robocalls, to be precise. Federal law has banned automated calls to cell phones since the Telephone Consumer Protection Act of 1991, though with limited effectiveness. At the time the ban was passed, cell phones were a novelty and seemed to merit special protections. In the years since, of course, they have become the default for most American households. In 2015, however, Congress added an exception for cell phone robocalls seeking to collect on debts owed to the federal government. A bunch of political operatives and pollsters took exception to the exception. Back in May 2016, the American Association of Political Consultants, a nonpartisan trade group, sued in federal court. They argued that by carving out special treatment for federal debt collection, Congress was regulating calls differently based on the content of their message, and in doing so had violated the First Amendment. The strange thing is that the plaintiffs don't actually want to get rid of the government debt exception. They want to knock out the whole law to open the floodgates on robocalls and automated texts, which the ban also covers, from campaigns, pollsters, you name it. It's a wacky bank shot legal argument. When Congress passed the debt exception in 2015, according to the plaintiffs, it retroactively invalidated a law that had been on the books since 1991. Among the plaintiffs' bedfellows, Facebook, which filed an amicus brief in support. The company is sick of being sued for sending automated account-related text messages. The case, Barr v. American Association of Political Consultants, is an appeal from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. The lower court ruling gave both sides something to be upset about. The court held that the federal debt exception indeed violated the First Amendment, but it agreed with the government that the rest of the law could stay in place. The immediate result was arguably a win for the rest of us. The robocall ban survived. Plus, it now included federal debt collection calls. During oral arguments this week, the court at first seemed open to striking down the entire TCPA. Some of the justices gave the government's lawyer, Deputy Solicitor General Malcolm Stewart, a hard time about the idea that it could just get rid of the debt collection exception. That, they suggested, would have the effect of placing more speech under the ban, which is a weird way to fix a First Amendment problem. But when it came time to question Roman Martinez, the lawyer for the political consultants, the justices revealed themselves to be attuned to the practical reality of the situation. Like us, Supreme Court justices have family members who flush the toilet during their conference calls, and, like us, they understand how annoying robocalls are. If you take a peek, just a peek, at the real world here, this is one of the most popular laws on the books, said Justice Brett Kavanaugh, because people don't like cell phone robocalls. That's just common sense. Are you against that common sense? So the cell phone robocall ban is probably going to survive, but there could be a broader downside to that victory. To see why, you have to understand the constitutional theory behind the plaintiff's argument. It stems from a controversial 2015 Supreme Court case called Reed v. Town of Gilbert. That case was about something pretty trivial, a local ordinance restricting road signs. But the ruling was radical. In an opinion by Justice Clarence Thomas, the court held that any law is constitutionally suspect if it imposes a content-based regulation, which Thomas described as one that cannot be justified without reference to the content of the regulated speech. The plaintiffs in this week's case based their argument on that holding. The exemption for federal debt collection, they argued, makes distinctions based on the content of the government's robocalls. Legal experts have puzzled over Reed since it was decided. As critics of the ruling noted, the court's logic, if taken literally, would seem to put enormous swaths of commercial regulation in danger, for the simple reason that a lot of economic behavior involves communication. A law that regulates psychotherapy, for example, would seem to be singling out speech based on its content. The First Amendment could eat up everything if you take Reed literally, said Amanda Shenor, a constitutional law professor at the University of Pennsylvania. It blew a giant hole into the architecture of the First Amendment. This week's case presented an opportunity for the court to start repairing that damage. What is content discrimination? Mused Justice Stephen Breyer, who dissented from Reed. All human life is carried on through speech. All government regulation is carried on through speech. Stewart tried to run with that idea. He argued that the debt collection exception is based on the economic purpose of the call and the underlying debt relationship, not the words used in the recording. To rule otherwise would jeopardize a host of other laws, like the Fair Credit Reporting Act or laws regulating financial disclosures that affect what communication is legal. But Chief Justice John Roberts wasn't having it. I don't see how that gets you out of the content category, he said. You still have to look carefully at what's being said before you can decide whether the phone call is covered by the provision or not. I think that's the clear holding of our decision in the Reed case. The rest of the justices seem to agree. So, while the court will probably protect us from a new explosion of robocalls, it may do so in a way that threatens to make all regulation a potential free speech violation. And a world in which everything becomes a First Amendment issue could become an exhausting place to live.